signed up for sitting in the sun for 5 hours. So sweaty is my word of the day.
And what was the crowd like? Like, how many people ended up showing up?
It was, you know, I've been to a lot of Trump rallies. And when I say a lot, I mean 8, 9 Trump rallies. Smallest rally that I recall since he was probably late in 2015, when he was not quite in a fully and declared candidate. But I can tell you, I was at a Trump rally in Des Moines, Iowa in October of 2021, so last October, and I estimated the crowd at 40,000 or more.
Wow.
And the Des Moines Register estimated the crowd at 25,000 plus. I've seen 25,000 at basketball games. It was bigger than that. In Waukesha, on Friday night, I would say top end, the crowd was 3,500.
Wow.
Yeah. So from a perspective, there was no overflow. There was no one behind the risers. There was no one in the wings. They barely filled the circle around the stage. And it was... You know, it was a poor showing, and Trump has not had a lot of love in the suburban Wall counties. And I tell you what, most of the people there, and I only probably talked to a dozen people, but of the people I talked to, only two were locals. Most of the people had driven up from Illinois. They weren't there to vote. They will not vote in a Wisconsin gubernatorial primary. So if the point was to come to town and move the needle against Rebecca Clayfish or for Tim Michaels, I don't think it worked. I can't imagine that there were enough people there that it would actually move the primary needle one iota.
And how was Michaels? I mean, because he gave a speech.
He's a gomer. No, he's far from compelling. He's a loud talker. His rhetorical choice was to speak loudly. He spoke loudly, but given the opportunity, I mean, they put Michaels on the stage at 5 o'clock. That was, you know, so if anyone's doing live hits, they got Michaels on the stage. Michaels gets his live hit. He probably did 10 or 15 minutes. And it was not a compelling narrative from my point of view. And I've heard lots of speakers. He is a newer candidate, really hasn't polished up his story, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He did like a Trump imitation. Man, I can't talk. I got Monday mouth. I sounded like Tim Michaels right there. Michaels did a Trump imitation, which was basically him just saying, I'm speaking like Donald Trump now. There was no different in intonation. He doesn't really understand how imitations are supposed to work. But given the opportunity, I mean, they sent him out there to stall. Trump was 90 minutes late to his own rally. So when Michaels first hit the stage, that was 3.5 hours before Trump actually hit the stage.
Oh,
when
wow.
they realized that Trump was not going to be there at 7 o'clock. They bring in people like Mike Lindell from CPAC, literally addressing the Wisconsin crowd like people care about Mike Lindell. And they had Carrie Lake. They had, you know, it's like all the Trumpsters from CPAC, like, hey, we can see you there. I'm like, no, you can't. You're on camera. You can't see anyone. Maybe there's a monitor with the crowd, but it was such a ridiculous exercise. But Michaels was basically encouraged, go back on there and go fill. You know, well, if I was running for office, I'd probably go tell a story about my time in the military or, you know, building the great corporation. I mean, if you believe Michaels, if they got 8,000 employees, he had less than half that many people standing there waiting for Trump to show up 90 minutes late. So he's got more employees than he had people in the crowd. And what I would say is he didn't take the opportunity to actually address those that did show up. So here's your big chance. And he did a bad Trump imitation. And then like threw some hats in the crowd and ran away. So, no, I was unimpressed with the candidate.
And isn't that, Mike, like an advisor's worst nightmare is sending out your candidate on stage live in front of a big audience knowing that he can't riff? Because that's a skill. That is a skill.
Well, if Tim Michaels is your candidate, you've got some major anxiety. But he wasn't the only one, guys. There was also the insurrectionist Derek Van Orden, and his delivery style reminded me a lot of Alex Jones. Just very angry, just had that wrestling tone to him.
Did he show the hole
in his mouth? So Van Orden was... What's that?
I'm joking. So did he show the hole in his mouth like Alex Jones did in court last week?
No, I missed that on both occasions. Michael Gableman gave the invocation at the big event before I heard you talking about the fact that he later endorsed Adam Steen. Adam Steen was at the event, and I got to admit, I didn't know what he looked like. Or I couldn't pick him out of a lineup. He was also very underwhelming, let's just say, as an orator.
I feel like none of us have ever heard anything about this guy until Trump started endorsing him, and now Gableman's endorsed him. And so what did he talk about? What was his speech like? He looks like, I look at pictures of him, and he looks like an aging Frodo. Like, he's just got very big blue eyes, and he looks like he's probably about 5'6". And I was like, that's like the best thing. But I don't know what he sounds like. I know that he's kind of like a total decertify the election, take away contraception type guy. Which way did he go Friday night with his speech?
There were some references to God, and he seemed like the nervous kid speaking in church on Sunday. Like, you know, he didn't know what to say, and he was feeling kind of confessional and guilty up there. But I cannot, again, with the size of the crowd, let's call it 3,500, and the fact that we weren't in Mount Pleasant, we're not in Voss's district, and Trump did come to town and crap on Robin Voss and crap on Rebecca Clayfish to a lesser extent, and I guess that was the point, question mark. But the rally wasn't large enough to move the needle, to my opinion, for either candidate. Now, having said that, Voss won his last primary in 2020 with like 3,000 votes. It wouldn't take a lot to change the outcome of a partisan primary in Mount Pleasant. So I've been encouraging and also endorsed Adam Steen. I think we should all vote for the man in the 63rd.
Although we can't because we don't live there. But you're serious. You think there's a chance that he could beat Voss come tomorrow?
I think it's slim. I've got 3-2 odds against. But, yeah, I think there's a very slim chance. But, you know, Trump came to town and said effectively, you know, take out Robin Voss. And I would say the biggest applause line of the gubernatorial debate, the Republican debate, was when Tim Rantham was talking about Charles Benson asked him the question about threatening to punch Robin Voss in the nose. And before he could finish the question, he was interrupted by the crowd, the partisans, cheering the prospect that Rantham would punch Robin Voss in the nose. So, you know, there's definitely some anti-Robin Voss sentiment going on out there in the world.
Well, that was always the case. It's just from a new angle than it's been prior to this. But so you're kind of convinced. Do you think this hurt or helped Michaels ahead of tomorrow, or just made no difference whatsoever?
I think the secret weapon that Tim Michaels has had, and as you know, I've been driving out state all around the state of Wisconsin. This state is filthy with Tim Michaels ads, and I mean on the radio. And you may not be hearing them in the same way in the Milwaukee Metro, but they are playing everywhere in the state of Wisconsin. And there's no way that Rebecca Clayfish has had the financial resources or been able to match that sort of firepower. So historically in the state of Wisconsin, you've got 7 media markets. Trump won 6 of them and lost by double digits to Ted Cruz. Kevin Nicholson won 6 of 7 media markets and lost by double digits to Leah Vukmer. Now, the question becomes, here in the state of Wisconsin, if Michaels wins 6 of 7 media markets, my understanding is right-wing talk radio has been effectively saying, we're not going to wade in, we're neutral on this, but let me tell you why Rebecca Clayfish's policies are better. So I'm not saying they're all embracive of Clayfish, but they pull a 20 share in Milwaukee. Right-wing talk radio, if they basically are the voice of the establishment Republican Party, Clayfish only has to win one media market, and she wins the state. She's just got to win southeastern Wisconsin, win the Wild Counties by enough votes.
And you think she can do that?
I think she can. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be the excitement tomorrow night as we're doing our post-election coverage, Kristen.
I know.
Who won the Republican primary. The interesting thing is Rantham is going to steal votes from Michaels, but Rantham probably will not steal any votes from Rebecca Clayfish.
Why do you say that?
Because Rantham's entire existence as a gubernatorial candidate is decertifying the election. It's a rigged election. And while Becky has tipped her cap to Trumpism, the argument against her candidacy in some regards is, well, she didn't endorse Trump soon enough. Well, strategically, I think she could have run as a suburban housewife, a coupon-cutting mother like you, and probably had more success. But Rantham is full Trumpster, and Michaels appeals to all those sort of patriarchal Republicans that just want, strong and wrong. He's our guy. Well, Tim Michaels will be strong and wrong about a lot of different things, I suspect. But if you looked at the guy that you'd want to go have a beer with, that's probably Tim Michaels. Rebecca might have Chardonnay and Ram Jams drinking Kool-Aid.
All right. Well, I wanted to play. Have you seen Michael Gabelman's new commercial that he cut? I don't know if it's, I think we just have the audio. It might just be a radio commercial, but we're going to play it quickly because this is just incredible to me.
I'm dying to hear it.
Oh, my God. All right. Jade, roll it.
Hi, I'm former State Supreme Court Justice Mike Gabelman asking you to join President Trump and me in supporting Adam Steen for state representative. You know, Robin Voss never wanted a real investigation into the 2020 election in Wisconsin. And everything that my office and I have been able to do to expose all the corruption that took place has been in spite of Robin, and not because of him. Please join President Trump and me, Mike Gabelman, in supporting Adam Steen for state representative. This has been authorized and paid for by friends of Adam Steen.
Do you think he got paid to make that commercial?
Well, he doesn't have to get paid. He was getting paid $11,000 a month by Robin Voss's direction.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's, first of all, what fraud have you exposed? Nothing. There's yet to be a single thing that he's actually gotten done. But to the only reason you have any job right now is because of Robin Voss trying to walk this line between appeasing Trump and keeping this like lie alive, and yet that you turn around and you endorse. And this is, who did I ask? But Michael, do you think that finally Voss will put an end to the investigation, or do you think it's just going to go on in perpetuity?
Well, I would say by about noon on Wednesday, presuming Robin Voss is still the Speaker of the Assembly and didn't lose his primary election. Actually, either way, I think that Gabelman is probably done representing the state of Wisconsin.
Like, thank you for your service, sir.
I wouldn't even give him that. Pretty much, don't let the door hit you in the fat ass on the way out.
Oh, God, we can only hope. All right, well, thanks so much for letting us come on. Mike and I are live tomorrow night from 8 to 11 on WAUK, on Devil's Radio in Madison, on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. What am I missing? WXCO in Wausau. So tune in to hear both of us and some of our other colleagues give some perspective and analysis. And anything else, crew, before we cut to the break?
Well, Earl will be live at the Mandela Barnes, less of a less drama on the Democratic side, but who knows? Maybe Peter Pekarsky shocks the world tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Groot. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Christian Bryan. We'll be right back.